Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room Podcast. The Writer's Room Podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea, especially ones they've been banging their heads on, into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm the cool, crisp, refreshing lemon-lime flavor of Will Campos.
Man, I love that.
Hi, I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm here at my two dads' office. This is Freddie's, he's the big boss, and Will is head of HR, and it's really nice to be here with my two dads.
Thanks for coming in, Matt.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. What are we doing today, Freddie? Take it away.
Wait, I want to change my intro. I'm the Dr. Pepper of hosts. Some people really like me, but most people think I taste like prune juice. All right, here we go.
Whoa, do most people not like Dr. Pepper?
It's a hard split on Dr. Pepper. You know what I mean?
Freddie, you're like the Mr. Pibb of podcasts. let's be real
Not the MD.
I want to change mine. I'm Matt Arnold. I'm the Mountain Dew Red Alert of this podcast. Where am I?
You don't exist because you're called Mountain Dew Code Red.
It's not Code Red, Matt.
Can I try that again?
Nope.
Let's give us one more. Okay, Matt.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm the orange soda of podcasts because, you know,
there's a lot of like you. And okay. I'm the Moxie's Cherry Cola of podcasts. The best cherry cola ever made that no longer gets made anymore. Here we go. We're doing today an idea that we've been kicking around, one that Will came in hot off the presses with. And this, by the way, a selection from the Story Break Premium Reserve. This is the vault that we keep in the cellar where all the great ideas age. These are the ideas that we keep for ourselves and our own careers.
Aged in soda barrels.
Aged in hot soda barrels.
Hot soda barrels. Yeah, so this was, you know, we've been trying to cook up what our next spec script is going to be. So what you guys are going to hear today is us attempting to break a real idea TM as opposed to all of our goofy ideas. It kind of felt like a Story Break idea when I came up with it, which is essentially, it was like we were talking about, like, you know, trying to write a family movie because we wrote a family film on assignment last year and we absolutely loved it. And, you know, we were kind of burning to maybe take on another one because we're like, oh, this is a fun genre. And then again, like, I feel like most of the Story Break ideas wind up being for 12-year-olds. So we were like, what about a family movie? And so I was like, I was trying to center in on a memory from my childhood that I was like, maybe that could be the catalyst for a movie.
It's a good starting point, like a memory or an emotion or just a feeling, trying to find something that real you can
something,
lock into.
Something that a kid could relate to. Again, like when we came up with a nuclear family, a story about moving day.
Will, one thing I do admire about you is that a lot of your ideas, looking back at our history, do lock in on something like that. So, I realize that,
thank you
know what
you,
I mean?
Freddie.
Like that's where you start a lot of times. And I think that's a good technique for you writers out there because it ensures that you're grounded in a place of true emotional honesty because you're digging into your own feels, man.
Yeah, it's like when I was a kid, I went to a school called Video Game High School. And then when I became a writer, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should base this on all my friends
and all
my adventures.
But to be fair, Video Game High School was like on one hand, it was like a cynical, like, hey, what would be something that like people who watch our channel would want to see? But also at the same time, it is like a foundational, how many times in school have you thought, man, I love video games. I wish there was a school for this.
I think both,
which school was this?
I think on both hands, Video Game High School was a cynical cash grab. But then on its feet, it turned out to be a heartwarming little coming of age story.
And on its head, it didn't make any cash.
And it made no money. Okay. All right. So anyway, the idea is called Dad's Office. And this was inspired by when I would get dragged to my dad's office when I was a little kid. And I was like, that's always like a weird experience when you're like 8 to 13. You know, your parent has to work on the weekend. They take you to work with them. And like as a kid, you're not really used to adult grown-up spaces, right? Like it's like you're used to school, the playground. You go to an office. It's very sterile. Like offices have a unique smell when you're a kid. Like it smells like copy paper and stuff like that. Like
cigarettes back in the day.
Cigarettes. Everything is very gray and neutral colors. Like it's very dull. And especially on the weekend, which is when I would go in with my dad. It was like no one's in there. It's just this kind of creepy, quiet corporate office. And it's always like for me anyway, it was always the same thing, which was like, stay in this corner and do not touch fucking anything. My dad would give us like, he was an architect, so he would give us like paper and pencils,
and pencils.
You know those like fancy markers that cost like a gajillion dollars, like some of those fancy markers,
like the Prismacolors,
and then we would doodle on it, like that. We would do that for a couple hours, right? Because this was pre-iPhone.
I want to point out that very fortunate that you've had the experience. I couldn't do this. My dad was an anesthesiologist, and And I remember often at dinner, he would talk about how like some abscess ruptured and they had the smell of it was fucking revolting.
Ew.
And there's blood and vomit everywhere. And I was like,
well, dig in, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Put it this way. Not a lot to take your kids to work when you're a doctor.
I forgot that your dad was an architect.
Yeah, he was an architect, and then
my dad was an architect too.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Until he got into Wall Street.
Yeah, well, my dad went to corporate real estate.
They both decided to go
make money.
Yeah.
And the fact that your small point, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, again, this is a digression, but also that your ancestors literally knew each other.
That's right. Did we talk about that?
I don't think we talked about this on
the
podcast.
In between?
Anyway, Matt and I's great, 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 great grandpappies knew each other from the Mayflower days.
Yes. I founded my great, 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 great grandpappy founded Rhode Island and was kind of like a fanatical abolitionist church leader sort of person. And Will's grandfather was this very rational person that would always say,
he was a mayor, right?
Yeah, it was a mayor. Was like, Matt's great-great-grandpappy's pretty smart, but I wish he wouldn't talk so much. Like, literally the quote is something like that. Yeah, we cannot stop laughing.
Time repeats itself. Let's just put it
that
way.
Flat circle.
That's not on my dad's side, but anyway, circling back to the idea. So the thought was, I remember having this vivid memory when I was at, and I think if my dad's listening, this is going to be the first time he hears about this childhood sin.
Ooh.
I committed. We were at his office, my sister and I, goofing around with the markers, and then we got a smudge on the wall with the marker, right? And we were like, oh no, oh, we're gonna be in so much trouble. And then we tried to like erase it and we made it worse and just got worse and worse. And we're like, he's gonna come back any moment and see that we drew on the wall. The one thing he explicitly told us not to do is to draw on the wall. And so I think we wound up hiding it behind a chair and then he didn't notice. And I never heard about it after that. And then I was always like, did Dad ever find that thing? Anyway, Dad, I drew on the wall when I was 6.
Do you hear that? Your dad just found out something.
He had a
your
chill.
Hair, your chill ran down your dad's spine. He knows. He knows something's
just,
up.
I'm getting a call from him right now. But so to me, like, the idea was like, okay, going into an office as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And being in this space that a kid shouldn't be, and then your kid nature gets the better of you, and then it causes, like, a problem, right? Like, your dad says, don't touch anything. You press this button on his desk, right? And then all hell breaks loose. And
yeah,
like, our idea was like, it would be essentially like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if this kid discovered essentially that his dad worked for Blofeld, right? Like,
yeah,
like, you screw something up and maybe the dad doesn't even know he's working for bad guys, but the corporation, this monolithic tower that he's working in, is actually like something nefarious is going on. And now these kids are on this adventure to potentially save their dad from some sort of world threatening evil or something like that.
Or if it was like a horror movie, it'd be the dad was unwillingly working for like a cult leader and they were going to sacrifice him.
Exactly.
Sort of the adult world becomes exaggerated into something very dangerous, and the kid not knowing how to act in the adult world causes something, you know, horrible, and then has to learn what it means to be an adult and try to fix it, essentially.
So
a real coming of age story, but like with the pedal smashed into the fucking floor, like, guess what, kid? It's time to grow up because you blew it.
I mean, I think
and you almost ended you're about to end the world.
It's definitely a resonant feeling. Like, when you first pitched it, I was like, again, I had very similar experience in terms of just like remembering, because my dad worked in New York. So, like, definitely one of the first and only memories I still have of New York is going to my dad's office. I think as like a really young kid, adults are always in the same context. They're with other kids, or they're on the street, or they're talking to you like a kid, or they're doing things for kids, they're teachers, etc.
Yeah.
So, like, the first time you go into an office
where adults are with adults,
it does feel like a different world.
Yeah.
It's only adults, they're all speaking in a language you don't understand, they all have serious faces on, they don't care that you're there. It's this very strange, just all these monsters running around typing on computers and doing stuff, and you're like, well, this is terrifying. Is this what I'm gonna grow up to be?
All right, folks, like, I'm gonna start the clock.
Yeah,
right,
go ahead. Yeah, because it's like the adults, when you're a kid, intrude on your world.
Yes.
Like, the world is your house, your room, you're playing video games, you want to go do X, Y, and Z, and adults are these interlopers, right?
Yes.
Like, school is, like, where you kids rule the school, and then adults are there trying to just contain the chaos, right?
Yes.
But then, like, at an office, like, you are now the intruder, right? Like, you are the one who is the outlier who is not supposed to be there. You are the burden now that is just supposed to be seen and not heard, essentially.
And you kind of just have gone to that age, at least, like, when I first went to office, like, I feel like it takes a little bit of time for you to feel like you have control, like you understand how the schoolyard works, you know who your friends are, bell rings, it's recess, you got your cycle going,
you know which kids you can, you know, shake down for lunch money, you know which kids are having a hard time at home so you can beat them up. Who's bad at pogs, so you can take those. Who's easy griffs with regards to magic? Just me, huh?
And then you're in this world and like nothing makes sense. Like, adults are in cubicles, they're talking to you, and then suddenly they have to leave because there's an important meeting. They take phone calls. Like, there's just stuff going on and you don't know what to do. I definitely was often just put in front of a computer and like play.
And then you got to play dad games, right? Like Microsoft Golf.
My dad literally is just, that's how I played Minesweeper. My dad only had Minesweeper and Solitaire, but I hated playing Solitaire.
So Solitaire, Minesweeper, Golf, and then maybe, if you were lucky, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
If you were really lucky, that 3D pinball, Space Cadet pinball.
3D Space Cadet pinball, we should do Microsoft Flight Simulator. For sure, at some point. Anyway, all right. So, you got a kid, potentially two kids, maybe like a brother and a sister.
Multiple kids scenario.
Or a brother and a friend. And they're stuck at the office, right? They probably want to go do some kid thing. And then they, in their boredom or something, motivates them to, like, again, like, the dad's got a big presentation and they spill coffee on the presentation. And then, you know, like, I think we were talking about at one point, like, the dad's going to get fired, but then they realize the dad getting fired means the dad is going to get executed by, like, this evil company.
Yeah, because we had that thought that there was, like, a kid at school that bragged about, like, how his dad was, like, a Secret Service agent or something. And then they get there and it's like, your dad's just the HR guy. Like, your dad's not a Secret Service. He's like, no, my dad kills people, I'm telling you.
My dad kills people. Like, he's so cool.
My dad's
that
a total,
is it, the HR guy. Guy does kill people. He executes people when they're fired because once you work there, you can't ever leave.
But you can't. It's in your
It's in your termination clause.
Yes. I think the big question to me still on this idea, and I think it kind of comes down to, and you know, maybe having an hour will just at least focus us on one idea and go, is still ultimately where does this go? Like, is it Spy Kids and Blofeld? Is it, you know, Monster House and like monsters and cults? Is it robots? Like, he ends up working for, like, you know, a super tech company and they're all AI and they're fighting robots, like, because ultimately it's going to come down to this becomes an adventure.
Yes.
And then we were definitely getting stuck on, how does the adventure play out? Like, is not a siege movie, is it a sneaky movie? If it's sneaky, what are they sneaking against? Are kids going to be killing adults? So it's like, yes, figuring out what the flavor of this film is and then maybe just like locking that down and flying with it and see what happens. See if we land on the runway or we crash into
One of the kids has been studying Brazilian jiu-jitsu so that he can get down, right? Like, he can armbar the shit out of any adult. That's his advantage. He can break arms and legs.
Just do some crap.
Just cool Brazilian jiu-jitsu kid. Just putting that out there.
Putting
that out there in the universe because I've never seen a kid get a full grown man into an armbar and then break his elbow. Like, that'd be so rad.
There's also different versions on what happens. Like, it could either be the kid finds out something, mm-hmm. like he goes into his dad's computer and he finds out something. You had an idea where it's like they type in the pad, they're trying to play Quake or something and type in the password too many times and they delete the computer and it was like some important thing that dad was working on, or any number of things. But I was thinking maybe you do that, they're playing Quake and the lag is killing them and they're doing everything they can to slow it down. They realize the dad's like downloading or like uploading
dad's
stuff.
Got this torrents on in the background.
So they shut it all down. It's like, that was like literally he was uploading like the most important thing, and like they stopped this like international trade deal or you know, whatever it was they were doing.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Okay.
So you have a kid.
It's not about the kid relationships.
A kid at his dad's office.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we can get into the villain thing in a second. So you have a kid at his dad's office, and then I'm trying to think, if I was at an office at that age, like, what the most tempting thing to fuck with would be. Like, pulling the fire alarm.
Your dad's botleth in the corner.
Yeah. Oh. Or, like, you do, like maybe the boss has, like, a fucking, like,
cool sword.
He's got a sword on the wall, right? Or, like, a Winchester, right? And then, like, maybe you pull something on the wall and then something opens up.
He's like, Gabe, you know, he has a knife collection. You want to see the boss's knife collection? What? It's like, yeah, there's a whole room of just knives. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
True story,
by
the
way. Or
it's
like a sacrificial blade or something. Oh, okay, really quick. What time period is it? It kind of reminds, because, like, for me, it
was... We keep talking about our childhood. So, like, it feels like 1995, but I also don't want to pin us to
that.
Yeah, you know,
because,
I mean?
Like, I think it would have to be something like that. Because definitely for me, like, even though it was only Minesweeper and Solitaire, it was also just that it was a computer. Like, my parents didn't afford a computer, so, like, I didn't have anything nice, like, computer-wise or Game Boy-wise. So, like, it was just really exciting to play... We'd play Minesweeper for a bit and then play Paint. Like, we're just excited to be on a computer. But nowadays, it's like, their kids are going to have their iPhone, their Switch, or whatever. So it's going to be something else tempting.
A kid at a dad's office is there.
You got a phone now. Yeah, you got pretty much whatever
you
need.
What if it was like a...
But like a sweet sacrificial knife is still dope.
So that's true. Like, knives are still cool. It doesn't matter how many tweets you get. Knives are still cool.
Yeah, okay. 10-year-old,
you hear that, Jack,
cool.
At Twitter? Knives are fucking cool. Twitter will never beat knives, you idiot. Stupid. Hey, VCs, come at me. I got an idea. I call it the Twitter killer. It's just knives in general.
Knives and cool Zippo
random,
lighters.
Random tangent.
Zippo tricks.
Zippo tricks and butterfly knives.
Random tangent. One of the times I most got in trouble was, so I think I might have talked about it before. We had this cousin. It wasn't really a cousin, but his name's Cousin John. He's like a friend of a family's. Anyways, he had this super dope place. He had a swimming pool where the basement where he played pool had a window into the swimming pool. He had a big game room. He like had a ranch and an orchard. And his grandfather got paid during the Great Depression with pinball machines. So his entire...
Whoa!
His
got entire, paid in pinball
Yeah, because nobody had money. So he has like an entire garage of old pinball machines. I told you this, Freddy. We should go sometime.
My
so
jaw's on the floor right now.
So he had all this crazy shit.
I'm a big pinball
and
guy.
And we used to go there. We haven't been there in a long time, but we used to go there a lot, especially when I was younger. And one time, me and my two cousins that were the same age, we were like probably 8 or 9, he had like Civil War swords.
What?
And we went into his room and took the swords down and started fighting each other with them. They were sharp, and we like tore the couch in half almost and like ruined his entire place. And like, but we got in super big trouble. I was very young, but like, that's a pretty natural instinct thing to do. As a
to fuck with a sword?
Yeah. You're like, fuck yeah, dude, two swords up on the wall. Of course we're going to go swing those swords around.
Okay. All right.
And by the way, if they do have phones, you can make it so that it's like a government site or something. So it's like you have to turn off your phones on the
you
way
do,
in.
You just have to come up with something that these kids wanted to do that can't be satiated by just fucking being on Snapchat or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So hear me out. Here's an idea.
Nobody
this
uses
is
Snapchat anymore, Will. Idiot.
So I guess we're selling this in 2013,
this
am
is
I right?
This is a period piece, 2012. Go fuck yourself. These two kids, it's like a little bit of a Super 8 thing, but hear me out. Imagine that it's like they want to go, today is their Saturday, and today they were going to go do their Star Wars fan film.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like they were going to go, and they had like their friend was going to let them into like a fucking parking garage to film their lightsaber duel or whatever, right? But then, and maybe you do, maybe it's two friends. Maybe it's not a brother and a sister, but it's like the one friend slept over the night before, and then they were going to go fucking have an awesome time filming their lightsaber fight today.
Yeah.
And then they're like, fuck, we got to go into the office, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh man, I got to go into the office. Like this, our whole day is ruined, right? And then they see these two bitchin' katanas on the fucking wall of the dad's office or of the boss's office or someone, right? And they're like, what if we film the fight here? Like, what if we film this cool scene for our movie here in the office? And then we do our little samurai duel. And they're like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And then when they do that, they fucking break the unholy shit out of something.
The dad comes in like, what are you guys working on? And he looks and they have like storyboards and it says like Jedi's at work. And it's like two Jedi's in a cubicle. They're like, dude, this is viral. This is like Freddie Wong gold. Remember when he used to make good videos? They're like, we're going to be the new Freddie Wong. And they're they're going to make this sweet viral fan film. I like that. I like that they're going to go mess with these swords.
Yeah, and it's like, well, again, in terms of an endearing thing, like kids are creative,
it.
Right?
Yes.
And it's like I root for them. My favorite part of Super 8 was them making the movie.
Yeah, I like that for sure. That they're super bummed out. They're stuck in this office, and then as they're getting a tour, you know, they like
spy
a HR person or a secretary or you know an assistant is like giving them around. It's like, here's the refrigerator. Like, take as much soda pop as you want. It's like, dude, sugar's bad for you.
No, it's
cool
kids. You can have as much soda pop as you want. It's all diet cola, diet Dr. Pepper,
and diet ginger ale.
Diet ginger ale. They're like, listen. This is an office.
It's all health snacks.
It's like you have as much soda as you want. It's like, this is all LaCroix, asshole.
I think I just figured out what the company should be. It's Soylent. The dad works for Soylent, but he doesn't know the secret. It's like, again, it's like a Soylent type company, right? And then there's this horrible truth about what they're making Soylent out of.
He literally finds out they're eating people. He's like, yeah, that I should have. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I don't know what's the surprise here.
But it's like, I don't know, like a food, like a snack food company or something like that.
It's like a superfood. It's a new trail mix. Real chunky.
And then it's like aliens are running this thing, and it's like
we need human DNA.
I do love the sword thing. If they were doing like a Star Wars fan film, what I love is like first they get the swords, they're like, this is dope, but they start really, I feel like it's in the boss's office, right?
Yeah, they've already transgressed to get the swords.
Sweet, we have these swords. And they open up this closet, and there's like a cloak and all this other weird shit. They're like, dude, this is like a Jedi cloak, but it's like,
it's the cultist
shit. You start realizing, this boss is crazy. But the kids are just pumped. They're like, this is so much good shit right now for
yeah,
this
for
video.
Our movie. Yeah,
we got
yeah,
all
yeah,
these
yeah,
props.
Yeah.
We got sacrificial blades. We got like this sweet chalice.
We got
this red, wet chalice.
Dude, you just keep pouring blood out of it and it keeps going.
Yes, weird. Never runs out of blood.
Weird. You hear that? Like a low Cthulhu-esque rumbling. Whatever.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. All right. I actually really like that. It's a, it's a nice, interesting contrast to the corporate office, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hear me out then. It feels like I love, okay, because yes, I love that when they take the swords off, because now I'm like, yes, what were these swords actually for, right? Because they don't look like katanas, right? Yeah. They look like two weird, crazy, you know, swords. Yeah. And he's just like, oh yeah, this is, you know, like you just think the dead, you just think the boss is like a fantasy.
He's like
nerd.
A weird yeah. collector. Yeah, yeah, I think yeah. it's like some Lord of the Rings shit. It's like, that's not Sting. It's like, no, that isn't. It's a picture of Sting in concert. Hey. Because right. they're nerds too. Come on.
Okay, well, okay, if you were going to do that, then let's say that these kids see these bitchin' swords, and then they pick the swords up, and yeah, when they, like, pick the swords up, like, a little button gets activated, or where they're just dicking around with the swords, and they actually slice a door
I was
going to
say, I think it's when the swords taste blood. Something happens. Because definitely, like, a kid hurting themselves, like, they get in trouble, and they, like, the sister's like, what are you guys doing? And then they, like, put the swords back, and then, like, when the boss comes back, he looks, and there's a drop of blood on the sword. It's like, my God. The ceremony's begun.
They started the ritual.
They started the ritual. Now there's no going back. They got it's like emergency meeting essentially. And like his plans are
I was going to say, is there like some amulet that they put on, or like there's like a weird statue in the boss's office, and then when they fucking slice it with the sword, it shatters into a zillion pieces. Or
they
something.
Find out later that was a person frozen there, and they're like, oh, you did kill.
You
person.
Did straight up kill.
I like an amulet thing because what you could do is I feel like they should take something. That they don't give back. Like, they forget. Like, they have an amulet on, and it's underneath his shirt. He's like, oh, this is my amulet of freezing and during the video or stuff. And they get in trouble, and they put everything away, but they forget because the amulet's, like, they're so nervous, and the amulet's just hidden underneath his shirt or whatever. And later, they're like, hey, I still have this amulet, and it becomes, like, some important MacGuffin or whatever.
Yes.
Guy's like, we can't finish this until we find the amulet.
I like the idea of people being like, well, if these swords are that important, why don't they just leave them out in the open? It's like, no, they're behind, like, a hidden display case, and it's like, it's password protected. Let me try and crack this. 0000. I opened it. Like, they just like just a dumb password on it,
admin or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Don Draper's password was
1234
admin. like admin.
Dear fucking God.
Next time we gotta let Matt suffer with about 10 Christ. More seconds of silence.
I think you pulled up like that.
Fucking
one.
Hell. This is the low point. You've reached it, folks. This is the low point of this entire
I'm gonna
podcast.
Get, tweet me if you thought that admin joke was super good.
Oh, no. Okay. No, right. I'm gonna tweet Jack and tell him that you like posted white supremacist shit to get you off Twitter forever.
Oh, no, that won't get me off Twitter.
Welcome to Story Break, where all the hot takes happen.
Well, the most medium takes in the universe on Story Break. All right. Kids, fuck around with a sword. Oh, so these two boys, I mean, it feels like two boys. It feels like two bad idiot boys, yes. Right? Like, what the three of us would have been like when we were 12.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a dork. I mean, you could have, like, I think it's more important that they're dorky. Like, you could have a dorky girl.
Sure. I mean, like,
but you're right.
Dorky.
It does feel
they're
like,
dorky
I mean,
kids.
There is a level of rowdiness here. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, and violence.
And
violence and stupidity that's only adequately expressed by basically us when we were young.
Okay, yes. I'm not saying I don't want to be gender normative, but okay, putting the gender aside for a second. So it's two dumb kids, right, that are being immature morons. Fucking break a thing, and then it causes bad shit to happen.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Now, does that then rephrase what the company is doing as like, is the company good guys and they didn't realize that?
Oh, they were like
then
protectors
you would do like,
of a seal of against
in that
evil
version, or it would be like the boss is like the fucking space warrior that defends the Earth from, you know.
Oh, we haven't thought that's actually because one of the problems was like if the company's bad guys, like this isn't going to be a movie about kids fight like killing adults, right? Like that's why Stranger Things and stuff, you can have monsters, but that can work if it's this company stops a portal from opening or whatever and they unknowingly do it and you just make all you have to do is get all the adults out of the picture, but the kids are fighting monsters or whatever.
It's like BRPD from Hellboy almost or
yes.
something like that.
Yes.
Okay, hear me out.
Yes.
Like, let's say...
Or SCP or something.
SCP. If you were going to do that, this company is, like, again, like a Men in Black-esque paranormal defense agency or something like that. Or, again, like, if you want to dip into the culty, like, iconography, right? And why that would get misinterpreted is it is like you're doing Cthulhu-esque stuff, like elder gods and, you know, like all these dark forces that want to destroy the earth, and this company is like the tip of the spear that defends them, right? You would do, like, the boss is like the chosen one, right? Like the paladin, you know, like who defends the earth. He is anointed to be the wielder of the two swords who shall slay X, Y, and Z, right? And the boss is at a conference in, you know, Malta or whatever. I don't know. The boss is somewhere else, you know, doing boss stuff.
Yeah.
And then the dad is there over the weekend with the kids filing paperwork or doing whatever. And then when the kids goof off in this way, they summon this ancient evil, or they break some valuable thing. But now it's like whatever the boss's chosen one thing is, like now the kids are the two protectors, right? Mm-hmm. Now they are the ones who have to do the adult thing.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
I like the idea, by the way. Sorry, this is stupid, but it's just like the swords, because we're doing other fairy tale stuff, but the swords are activated by the blood of two virgins, and these kids are 8 years old, so of course. But it's also like, hey, you're not supposed to bring those in here. It's like, what, kids? No virgins. It's weird. No virgins work at this company because it's too dangerous if somebody... It's weird. I applied for this place, and the first question they asked me was,
I think that's like
if I was a virgin. I'm pretty
sure
they
can do that. That's
I don't
like
think
legally.
This is an appropriate question for an office space.
Now, I do start to wonder why the dad brings his kids to this super dangerous workplace.
It's got to be out of necessity, right?
Does the dad know that the... Or again, is the dad like, he's not entirely aware of what it is, the company? The dad's a temp.
Is it more fun if the company's bad guys?
I don't know. In that version, if you were going to do that, it would be like they break some seal, and then now, like the especially if you still wanted to have it be in the office, it would be a Die Hard type thing where now monsters and beings of incomprehensible terror show up at this building, and they're all looking for, like, you do, there's a hidden treasure in the building somewhere, right? And all of these monsters are looking for it. And maybe the dad is the architect who designed the building. It did go with the architecture thing. And so maybe the bad guys capture the dad, and they're trying to scour his mind for the secret location of this treasure.
Well, I like that the kids have, if they have a MacGuffin, then that's why they need the kids. Right?
The kids have the key.
Yes.
If you're going to do, there's some amulet that is the key. Again, to just rip off Die Hard for a second, there's a vault somewhere in this building, right? And this key opens the vault.
Yeah.
And so there is this gem of banishment that protects the building, right? Yeah. And okay. Hear me out. The company, they have, like, they protect Earth from all these evils and stuff like that, but there are all these doomsday devices and cursed objects and stuff like that, and this company stores and secure, kind of like SCP.
Yeah,
like
they secures, store, secure, protect, right?
So, like, and there is some elemental seal that banishes evil from being able to enter the building to get all this bad shit back, right? So then when they break the seal, it's like a fucking fire sale. Now every bad guy, alien, and monster, and X, Y, and Z thing of pure evil is coming. And they're, again, it's like maybe the vault is where it's all kept.
Okay, just to try this, if we're going to go with the Men in Black approach, they had cool sabers. Like, they're good sabers for cutting up aliens or whatever it is. And they mess around with it, but they accidentally send a signal. Like, you would do that, the boss is a little bit of a collector, and, like, he has these two warrior, like, sacred, like, swords from, like, a warrior alien species or something. And them clacking them together or drawing
sends a beacon,
and now there's an alien invasion coming, and they caused it. Like, somehow, everybody in the office, like, get... whatever. When they clack the swords together, there's something else they use, right? They're going through the boss's shit, and there's all this cool rad stuff. They're like, oh my god, this is better prop. Like, this, throw away your Nerf gun, bro, that you painted black with, like, crazy designs. We got some cool-ass alien gun-looking props here. And something they wear, whether it's the cloak or they both have these cool medallions, when the aliens invade or whatever, they do this blast or something that freezes everybody, but the cloaks or the amulets they're wearing are part of, like, it's that same... Right, if it's like the Gorgoths are the creatures and they're using the Gorgoth warrior swords and they called the Gorgoths down, they're also wearing Gorgoth armor when they're doing their videos, these cloaks, and they are immune to this blast that freezes all of the humans or mostly humans, and now they're stuck here and they start learning, like, oh, this is a Men in Black, like, my dad works for the Men in Black and these aliens have come down, and oh shit, at the bottom of this basement is a weapon of mass destruction that destroys solar systems that they're protecting, that the Intergalactic Geneva Conventions that nobody could use, and the Gorgoths have been looking for it for a century, and now they know where it is, and now the Gorgoths are going down the 100 floors underground to go find this weapon of intergalactic destruction, and the only people that can stop it are these two kids in Jedi cloaks.
That's pretty fun.
That's fun. Okay. And what's nice about that, by the way, is that it because when you first say alien invasion, I'm like, oh, do we have to leave the office? Like, no. You can keep it within the office, and you can get the thing where it's like, oh wow, the whole world is they're getting snippets of it on social media, what have you, but they're like, no, but we're at ground zero, so we gotta fight it out here.
You can even do something where it's like the Gorgas, like they do like a temporal, you know, cylinder that like this entire building is stuck
locked
in frozen
time,
in time. Yeah. So from the outside, nothing's happening, but on the inside is all chaos and all the adults are locked in time. But the kids were getting, they were protected from it by their props they were using. And now they're the only ones that can help.
Yeah, in the end, the dad's like, you look a little older.
Oh, that's nice. Oh.
Like, is your voice deeper? Are you going through puberty?
We've been here for 16 years, Dad.
I can play piano good, Dad. I can play piano good, and I know all the things I have to say to waitresses so I can have sex with them.
Also, for 16 years, it's only me and my friend. We didn't learn very much. It's just we had no help.
Okay. All right.
And our internet was frozen on the last thing we saw, which was stupid.
Okay. All right. I like that they're wearing the stupid fucking necklaces. And then that's what, yes. And like all the grown-ups freezing is like a nice, like no one, they didn't get killed, but like they're, you know, they're all frozen, right? Because these kids fucked up the thing.
You have that moment where the alarm goes off and the boss is like, shit, they're coming. And he opens up. He's like, I only have one amulet. Come on, buddy, let's go do this. And they open up like, where are the amulets? And they just freeze.
Yeah, they go in the boss's office and it's them clearly standing over the safe. They crack the amulets, be like, what the fuck? There's nothing in here. Yeah. Like one guy's tearing it apart, being like, where are they?
Yeah, see, it's so what's the Obra Dinn game? It's a little bit of that where the kids are seeing
Return of
this
the Obra
frozen
Dinn.
Office tableau.
Yeah, so they have to like literally learn like what the dad's office was by these like frozen tableaus as they start going down.
Like,
like what's the code to get downstairs or whatever? They have to like go through. They're avoiding aliens, but also like literally getting like a frozen experience of their dad's office. And as they get lower and lower, it starts to the administrative work. It's the basic stuff. I mean, it's the company. It's still got to run.
Really cool visual, by the way. It's just everyone's like every other human being is frozen in this office.
Oh, you know what you make it to is the this is the other, because like, well, I want that office, like that boring adult world heat on it. So you do the aliens, the glibglorbs or whatever. They're like, it is like, it's the human resources director of the glibglorbs, because he's in charge of dealing with humans, right? And so like he and his team come in and they're like, okay, so here's our itinerary. Like they do a PowerPoint presentation to like talk about how they're gonna fucking like, you know, find the object, right? But like you do the main guy is like he's like the number one boss in the multiverse or whatever, right?
Oh my god. So then
it's
still an office.
It's still an office.
Thinks about aliens as like, you know, Mongol raiders like killing and terrorizing. It's like, no. They have org charts just as well, because guess what? That's how you organize a group of people efficiently.
Well, yeah, they're a very organized, genocidal group of aliens.
Yeah. Or you do like they're like the alien IRS, and like Earth has been holding out on its space taxes or something like that, because it's this cruel intergalactic empire or something like that. And you know, like the Earth has been secretly hoarding weapons to mount a resistance fight back or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely I like them trying to get something like intergalactic weapon of
sneak in on the intergalactic PowerPoint and they realize, my god, they're outlining the plan right to us.
Well, they used to use that because where they couldn't collect taxes, they would just blow up planets, and then the intergalactic courts was like, you can't keep blowing up planets when people don't give you guys taxes. So now they're stuck, then they're like, no, we want our tax explosion weapon
you
back.
You absolutely have a fucking scene where they have to pretend to be frozen.
Oh, you have a scene where
absolutely.
Anytime they're walking by, they have to stop and like and just like and stand there and be super fit. You can also at some point they get some button or they get some MacGuffin that disguises them as the aliens, right? Like some power armor or something like that. And then they have to, again, it's them having to pretend to be adults. Like they have to sit in.
It is literally an alien language. What'd you do with the and for us watching it, we're just like, oh, those are basic office stuff. But to them, they're like, the W-9s.
Let me throw you a very stupid idea. This weapon, if this is going to be an intergalactic IRS, they're like, they find loopholes and insurance loopholes, and they just go and they like essentially, right? They're like credit card scammers. They go to planets and they essentially scam a planet into having to pay them, or they like screw up
protection
the
money.
Weapon. Yeah. Oh, that's what they are. They're intergalactic collections agency. Essentially, they buy debt from everywhere. They go and track down planets and take them. The weapon, when people don't pay, the weapon turns everything into money. So like if they can't get the money, they're just going to turn you into money.
Shit.
And then the Galactic Union was like, yeah, that's murder. You can't do that.
So they're going to turn the entire Earth into gold.
Yes, essentially.
Like into diamonds or something.
And then
like
what
that.
You do is if the dad really needed money
regular,
for something,
a regular
the kids,
lattice of carbon will the most mundane object in the universe, diamond, please.
And then the ending is the kids turn all the aliens into money and give their dad needed money in the first place, and they get all the money to save the community center.
They use it to pay off the space taxes.
They use it to pay off. They're like Earth pays our taxes.
We could borrow the joke that we had from the other thing, which is it is a block of diamond, which is completely useless to them. Oh, yeah. But they're like, oh, perfect. Like, well, can we? This is worth billions. It's like, no, it's a giant block
Dad,
of diamond.
Look,
we made this
table pure diamond. He's like, we can't. What are we gonna do with this? This is literally more than all diamond on Earth. Nobody will believe this is real diamond, or we'll be arrested. Like, we can't do anything with this. And it just cuts to they're just eating dinner on a diamond table. And they're like, rad. Thanks, kids.
Eating dinner down until he sets out his mug and it just shatters. He's like, God damn it.
That's really fun. Okay, all right. Circling around.
This is fun as hell.
Okay, so what you have is the kid's dad works for like an Earth thing that
collects and stores and tries to destroy strange and unexplainable objects, alien objects or stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we remember like in Men in Black when they enter the building and in Hellboy,
oh,
there's like a
fun.
Secretary, there's normal
you'll
people that work
yeah,
there.
Yeah. It'll be fun. The reason why Earth has all of these is like a flaw in where we are in the solar system. It's like the same way like certain islands, like pirates would be like, cool, we can dump our shit here. It's like Earth became that for like space pirates. They would,
it's like this backwater
yeah,
planet.
Roswell was like a space pirate that they were like, we're going to come back and collect this. This is an X marks the spot scenario, but we were like, hey, what the hell is this? Like, that's why we ever seen aliens, is because it's them dumping their cool shit in our backyard.
So you're saying we're like the Swedish banks of like this universe?
Or we're just too primitive to understand what's going on. We're just like, oh my gosh, aliens. And it's them. They're just like, cool, this backwoods planet with a bunch of these
apes.
Here's what it is.
You know, like how with nukes, they have to dispose of the nukes somewhere,
yeah.
right? Like, Earth is...
Yes.
So you do the UN of space, like, dumb... This is like the remote backwater...
Universal Nations.
The Universal Nations. The Universal Nations, this is where they dump all of their weapons of universal mass destruction. And the boss has the chaos blades, right? Because someone has to defend this stockpile of fucking doomsday weapons that...
Actually, can't the chaos blades actually be weapons of mass destruction? And the boss is kind of a little bit like...
He's a nerd and
yeah,
he's
like, they're cool,
them.
Though. Like, as long as you don't, whatever, dip them in the blood of, like, a Gorgoth, nothing happens or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
anyways.
Okay, or something like
they
that.
They make a great paperweight.
It's like, and so they know that their dad works at a waste disposal management
yeah,
company.
He's super
lame.
Yeah.
Your dad's like a glorified garbage man. He's like, no, he's not.
He's a garbage man with a
yes.
suit. You
okay.
Idiot.
All right. And I like that the dad had to come in. Oh, because you could do one of the reasons that dad had to come in is there was like there's like an inventory problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they keep very close. And there's this underground vault full of all the doomsday weapons, which is also really
it's
fun.
It's like
thing
the Indiana
play.
Jones like.
Yeah.
Vault,
what I
right?
love is like as when I was a kid, I loved garbage men. I would wait at the window for
sorry,
garbage.
Sorry, what?
I would wait at the window for garbage.
That's
trucks
a very
come.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
when
Tonka
kid,
trucks.
These fucking
big ass trucks have teeth, and then people come and throw big trash into them. It was awesome, and the garbage man would like wave at you. So like, I like the idea that as a kid they're even like, dude, that's so cool, my dad's a garbage man, I'm gonna take him to school for like my dad's career day. And then all the questions were like, do you drive a truck? He's like, oh no, like by garbage man I'm more like I sit in office and I kind of make sure that the kid's like, I thought you were a cool garbage man, you like, just sit behind a
and
desk.
The next kid, the real garbage man comes and I was like, yeah.
You'll then you do it, they absolutely in the climax of this thing have to fucking drive an intergalactic
garbage truck.
Yeah.
Yes, to throw these.
They've got the doom because the doomsday weapon's gonna go off,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So they have to throw it in the truck and fucking tool up, and their dad drive the big rig garbage truck out into space.
And they're like, "Where are we gonna throw these?" And then you cut to, and it's Elon Musk. He's on Mars. He's like, "Oh no, my terraforming Mars machine isn't working." And then these big rockets hit Mars, and then sure enough, it terraforms Mars. And they're
what?
Like, "Thanks, kids."
What does Elon Musk sound like?
Not this at all.
Like
he just
that.
Sounds like a.
Hello, Elon Musk!
Elon Musk!
Oh, Grimes! Grimes, get over here and check out my new car! Oh, Grimes, I've got my new car! You can play some of your beats in it!
That's my Elon Musk.
Hey, you guys need a submarine? No, we're pretty good.
Oh, what? I wanted this submarine play nothing but Grimes' greatest hits.
If you don't like submarines, you must be a pedophile.
Oh, you pedos don't like my girlfriend's music and smoking weed! Get out of here! Oi! Oi! It's me, your boy Elon. I made PayPal and now I get to throw cars into space. That's the world society we live in.
All right.
Okay.
I'm glad we're not very popular because then we'd get a lot of Twitter comments.
Oh, boy.
Okay, anyways.
Okay.
Let's talk about these kids and this dad. Yes, I like getting there, though, in terms of the kid doesn't think much of his dad.
Yeah. All right, this is very dope,
15 minutes.
All right, so you have this kid and his friend or his... Or do two kids. Just do the brother and sister, maybe.
Yeah. And you can have them meet somebody there. If you want to.
There should be one of the doomsday weapons as a kid that's been in the vault.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, or there's like an alien kid.
There's an alien kid who has farts that can fucking obliterate a planet.
He's stuck there because he's dangerous. It's like, yeah. And then they realize, like, how long have you been? They realize that the kid's been here forever.
He was the Roswell alien.
Oh, shit. He's got farts that can destroy a planet.
Dude, that's so good. That's the best idea I've literally ever come up with. Because you know that
he wears a diaper.
You know that kid's gonna rip a toot.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They all got the gas masks on, and then
it's gonna be the doors closing behind him. And he's like, run! right when these like steel doors close, he starts clenching. The doors close, and they just hear. Like off in the distance, and the door is just bulging. You're nah. Yeah. And it's the scene from The Rock where one guy's like, "Open the door!" And his face starts melting.
Holy shit! Yes.
Okay, I like this kid. I like that the kid like says that kind of as like a joke at first, and you realize like he's being just like, "Hey, my name's Ben, and I'm pretty cool. I got farts that can like blow planets." So like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. We all have cool farts. Okay, like calm down, kid.
We all have cool farts, kid.
Like, no. Calm down, kid. And they realize he's an alien. He's like, "Wait, did you say? Were you being serious?" Like, no, like seriously, it destroys planets. That's why I'm stuck here. I'm a weapon of mass destruction. I'm not. It really sucks. I was taken from my home planet and stuff like that.
I just want to see my parents again.
Well, that's great too, because he's the classic. Like the kid's like, "Oh, my dad's such a butt." And he's like, "Yeah, I haven't seen my parents since my fart blew up my home."
Yeah,
I killed
and my
parents.
Dad was a butt.
Yeah. Matt, are you proposing
a race of
that this kid's dad was a butt?
Was yes. A human ass
that farted him.
Yes.
And then he has the most deadly farts in the universe.
Yes. It was his mom fell in love with the butt. And then he was born, and he was unfortunately was very dangerous. Okay.
Like, I'm actually half butt. Okay, all right. Let's lock this in. Okay, so let's talk about the kids. Do we like brother and sister, or do you want to do like these two rowdy friends?
If you're gonna do, they're making like a YouTube video or something, it feels like friends.
Two friends, right? Yeah.
I mean, you could make a sister there. Like, it depends on, like, I feel like you're gonna want three kids.
That's
in the end.
True. Two kids.
That three kid heat.
Because you already have that dynamic. You already have this dynamic.
Can that be the name of our new production company?
Three kid heat. Holy shit, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all, especially if it's like referring to us and not actual children.
Three kid heat.
It's very weird.
That is weird. Never mind.
Okay, but you have, because you'd have like the younger sister or the older sister or whatever.
Who kind of doesn't want, or, you know, is the voice of reason a little
bit.
Yeah,
and then she has a little like, you know, a little sad romance story with the fart kid.
Oh,
because the fart kid has to go home to his home planet at the end.
Yeah, I definitely want to avoid this. Like, it's like two fun rowdy guys, and then you have like the younger girl who's like the voice of reason.
Well, she has stinky farts too. That's what they bond over. Yes, she gets made fun of at school because she has stinky farts.
She farted,
and she's like, "Everyone's farts stink." Okay. Oh, I got it. I got it. Her name is Polly, and she farted at school, and everyone calls her Paul Fart now.
Paul Fart's very good, right? Because like as a kid, especially like if there's a girl you like or something, you're like insecure with yourself, like I was. It's like you don't want to fart. Because you're going to get made fun of. But then there's that one day a kid comes out and just farts out loud in class. It's like, farted. And then everybody starts cheering. You're like, holy shit, you can turn that around and be cool by farting?
Yes,
like, how is that even possible?
That's what she has to learn at the end.
Exactly.
She's like, on my planet, we take pride in our farts.
Yes. She ripped a fart in library or in line, and people started smelling it, and she tried to deny it.
Yeah.
And she got chanted, whoever denied
it
supplied
it. We have an earth saying, he who denied it supplied it.
Yes, okay.
The kid's got a zillion of those.
Okay.
Those with the mightiest farts are worshipped. We call those who dealt it.
These fart dealers in my planet are...
heralded as king.
My father disgraced himself by claiming that he had dealt a fart that he had merely smelled.
Okay.
So they're going to go to the office. So the kid, the friend stayed over, right? Let's talk about the three kids. The three kids. Also, can we get three names?
Let's go with Gil Holderbach.
Gil.
One of the cool guys.
Gil. All right, Gil Holderbach. And then the girl is going to, her last name is going to be Holderbach, right?
Yeah. Let's go with Kristen.
One name, Kristen. You're in the episode as Kristen Holderbach.
Hey, Kristen, instead of maybe next time try to hold her back that fart.
Oh boy. And then let's go with Patrick Goodsell.
All right. What do each of these kids want? Right. So Gil wants to make a movie with his BFF. Right.
Yes.
And then the same thing for Patrick. Now, do we do something? Is there like a little drama? Okay. Because here's what I'm thinking: the fart girl. Kristen's a little older. She's the one who's in middle school now. And it's like, you fucking kids have no idea what you're in for in middle school.
Yes.
Middle school sucks, right?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And then you have these two boys who are worried about growing up, right? And like, are they going to grow apart? Fart girl, because she feels like shitty and alone. She's like, you two probably aren't even going to be friends in a year because like her best friend betrayed her or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe make that the kids aren't... Oh, okay. Here's a thing you could do.
Yeah.
Maybe you make it that the kids aren't... really that friendly yet? Bear with me. If you do, just assuming that this is going to be a single parent, right? If you were to do a single parent, because they got to bring them to work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could do both parents are working, right? But let's just say it's a single parent. You could do Pat is the kid of another single parent, and those two parents are beginning to date. Like the dad is trying to get together with Pat's mom.
It's a work romance.
So it was part of like, oh, hey, let's have Pat come over and spend the night with Gil. You know, let's get these. Again, they're trying to be mature adults and try and get the kids to get along because their relationship's getting serious.
Gotcha.
But Gil's not happy with it. So Pat and Gil are kind of at ends with each other. But like fighting with swords is something that can bring two kids together.
Nothing brings two together.
And they're like, hey, will you like Gil wants to make this video so bad. He's got to ask Pat. He's like, hey, man, I know you don't like me, but
Pat
like I'm
camera.
Stuck here. You want to like. Can you be in this like cool video with me? Can you swing a sword? He's like, all right, fine, whatever. There's nothing else to do. You suck. Your dad sucks. Your dad better not touch my mom, but sure, whatever. We can do this video. And Gil's like, cool, cool, cool. And Kristen's like, don't ever fart in public, kids. And like, yeah, whatever, Kristen.
I know that.
It's better than staying with your stinky sister. And they're like, shut up, Pat. Anyways.
At
least there's like some dynamic with all those kids. I can see they all kind of have a little bit of stuff going on.
I'm trying to, but I get like two best friends that are dealing with like they've got something coming up that's going to pull them apart. Like that's stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I was just trying to. My only other concern is that kind of undermines the like, oh, these two kids really wanted to film their Jedi video,
yeah.
Right?
Okay,
then,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a super bad energy.
I think Patrick is like the goofy best friend, right? These two have been working on their opus all year, and like this is the big fight scene that they're supposed to film, and this is they're going to finish it before they go to middle school, and then we're going to post it online, and we're going to be super popular when we get to middle school.
Everyone wants to see. Gil v. Pat.
Yeah, Gil v. Pat.
The Reckoning.
We're going to be the biggest thing since the original Star Wars kid. And Kristen's like, that's not, you don't want to, okay.
anyway, I don't want to make it too much about the kid drama. But at any rate, let's talk about, again, all right, in terms of the arc, right? Because we want it to be about adult responsibility.
And it's true. You could also make it more about Gil and Kristen, and Pat's the fun third kid. Rather than making like the sister, like the third energy. Like make it that Gil and Kristen are the ones who are experiencing the biggest issue. And like Gil doesn't care. Him and his sister used to hang out and stuff. And Kristen's feeling left. Like she's not doing well in middle school. Gil's having new friends. And like she doesn't feel included anymore, which is a little bit different. Like this is really embarrassing as an older sibling being like, I remember like for a while, like my brother would always bring his friends over and like, especially like when in high school when my best friends went to a different high school, be like, oh, hey, like I kind of want to hang out with my younger brother and his friends. But it's like a little weird to have that.
Oh, especially energy. Now that she's a sixth grader. And
yeah, exactly. And
okay.
So like she feels like her and her brother are kind of slipping away. And anyways,
let's circle. We got to wrap it up.
We're 5 minutes here.
Okay.
I need the wants for these kids that we can track over the course of the adventure.
Okay.
Obviously, they're going to film this video, right? And then that's going to cause this problem. Everyone's going to get frozen. They're going to have to fight the aliens to save the world. And once the aliens figure out who the architect is, they're going to unfreeze the dad and take him to be interrogated, right? So I get how that arc of that adventure works. I think part of the pre-existing conflict has to be with the dad.
Yes.
Because he is the one who's brought them here, right? Mm-hmm. And like in terms of their arc, again, they're going to be going through... this, they're going to have to become real, like, heroes, right? And they're going to have to, again, infiltrate the adult world and stuff like that. It's kind of like Peter Pan or Mary Poppins. Do you know what I mean? Like, where it's like you have this sort of schism between the kids and their father.
Yeah, okay, let's try this. Not to get into, like, classes, school system stuff, but let's just bear with me. Mm-hmm. Let's say Gil Holderbach, the dad. We didn't give him a name.
Bill Holderbach.
Bill Holderbach. He's struggling, again, whatever, maybe both parents are working. They work hard, and they have a private school they bring their kids to, and Kristen's there, and Kristen's not liking it, not doing very well.
Oh, and he's going to go next year, and he's not going to get to be with Patrick.
Yes, Patrick's going to public school, and Gil wants to go where Patrick's going, especially since you can even do, like, that public school has, like, a cool, like, better arts...
film program.
It got, like, a better film program. And the Holderbachs are like, dude, you have no... the kids don't understand how hard... Like, I remember, like, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but they worked really... It was very important for my parents that all of us went to a Catholic private high school. Mm-hmm. And they worked very... They still have student debt that they're paying. They worked very hard to make sure... Because they wanted us to go there.
You know what you could do, by the way?
So you could do that. The parents want... Essentially, like, you're starting with your dad. He's like, Gil, you're going... You can't... You're going to private school. You're going to do great there. And what Gil's going to eventually learn is like, look... He's going to go to this private school. His dad's trying to make the best decision for him. He'll be able to still, yeah.
I think what you could do there to make it less, it's not like rich versus poor or something like that. But what you would do is it's like Gil got this lucky opportunity, whether it is a scholarship to like a really fancy school, or it's like, again, like a not a charter school, but like a specialty school.
Yeah.
They have to, you know, they have the big lotteries to get into some of these schools.
Yeah.
He like won the lottery to get into like a school that would be amazing, but he's going to have to give up his best friend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, again, I would do the new school has the film program and has all this other stuff, but he doesn't want to, right? And his parents are like, no, this is the best thing for your future. And that's the choice he's struggling with, essentially. That's maybe the kind of subtext underneath Patrick and Gil. And especially if then Kristen is in sixth grade and just had this big falling out with her best friend.
Yeah.
Or something like that, right? Like, they're worried that this is going to happen to them, right?
Yeah.
So they want to make this movie. Like, this movie is, like, the way to continue their friendship, essentially.
I can see that. The only thing I would say is, like, if you do that stuff, it's almost, like, a harder lesson, though, because, like, whatever, man. If a freaking fifth grader is like, I want to go to this school because it's got a better film program, man, you don't get to decide. Your parents are going to tell you where to go. It's like, if the other school has everything, and then it's just about whether or not he's going to stay with Pat, it feels a little bit more like, he's immature, he just wants to make cool videos, he wants to hang out with his friend, and his dad's like, look, this is a very good school. We're bringing you to this school. And it's like, let the parent make the reasonable. It's a very rational
decision.
Okay,
let's figure out what exactly. Then I don't know what his choice should be at the end. We can get to that because that's interesting. But I like that as an pre-existing conflict, right?
Yeah.
Is that he's mad at his dad because he's going to have to go to his sister's school, and his sister seems to hate it. And you know, his parents are like, this is going to be good for you. Like, this is a huge opportunity. This is not. And again, they're lucky that he gets to go to this school.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's wrestling with that because it means like leaving his friends group and specifically his best friend, Pat, behind.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all going on into the thing. And then they're like, man, this is your dad coming in the way of our fun yet again, and we're not going to be able to shoot our video, right? And he's been trying to prove to his dad, like, I'm mature enough to make this choice responsibly.
Yeah.
And then he immediately undermines that by fucking getting into this sword fight and, you know, unleashing hell on earth, essentially.
Here's really quick, here's what I was saying, that the reason I was saying that is, like, I think this could be the ending. If you don't want to get into a loaded private school versus public school, just reverse it and make it that the parents are going to take Gil to a public school because it's a good public school. They live in a good neighborhood. They want that. And Pat's going to this private school. And, like, yeah, they could sacrifice to make it work, but, and again, the private school of course has the better video program and stuff like that. What you do is it's like the adults like, look, man, we're your parents, we're doing what's best for you. He goes to the school that his parents want him to go to, but you do that, the parents have set up a local film club, and Pat shows up, and like the dad's taking some extra time to set up an extracurricular fun thing
that engages
with what his kid is really interested in and keeps him and Pat together. And it's like the parent is going to make the right decision. The parents also has to work a little bit extra hard to, you know, take care of his kid.
Okay, yeah. I don't think you need to flip the private school thing, but anyway.
Okay.
All right, so, okay, I like that. I like that heat, and I like that Kristen is in sixth grade and embarrassed of who she is.
Yes.
Right? And she's going to learn to own herself, right? She's going to learn to be like, fuck it, I'm fart girl. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's all about fucking confidence. Like, farts are power. All right. Cool. All right,
Fart boy is going to blow up the place, but something happens and he can't fart. So Kristen's fart can't blow up a planet, but maybe Kristen's fart can
indeed inspire his fart.
Inspire his fart, or at least empty a room.
Works. Well, because in his culture, farts are like beauty and art, and like her fart is so beautiful that it inspires him to fart his own fart.
Yes,
that's very good. Okay, beginning of the movie, Patrick slept over at the Holderbach house, and he and Gil were going to shoot the climactic duel of Gil v. Pat, their lightsaber fight scene movie.
Yeah.
And instead,
Duel of the Fates.
Instead, they have to go into the office, right? Because they picked up radio chatter that the Glibglorbs are looking for, are in Earth space or something like that, right?
You can even give it a little bit of extra heat really quick that you should make it something like, they don't get to finish filming their climactic duel because of something Kristen does. Like, she's embarrassed by her brother and she's already dealing with something. So you get a little bit like they're already mad at Kristen, who kind of ruined their sword fight because she was acting insecure and her little brother was embarrassing her, and it just turned into a thing. So they're kind of mad at each other.
Yeah, just to give a little bit of heat
coming into it.
Yeah. So, and then they all have to go spend the weekend at the dad's office. Yes. And they're like, fuck this. This sucks, right? And so now they're sitting around bored. I kind of don't know what Kristen's heat is going into this thing other than just being mad. Is there like a party she wants to go to? She's trying to regain her social rep, right? Yes. Like, she's like, I have to fucking recover from this somehow. And there's like, again, like there's a, you know, a
cool birthday party.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't know why. I don't
cool
know.
Bat mitzvah.
I don't know why that would inspire her to join in the fucking video. But
she needs to hold the camera.
They need someone to hold the camera or something. Yeah. Kristen. She's embarrassed about the fart.
That's kind of her role right now.
We'll circle back to it.
Mostly about these two friends. But
okay.
Yeah.
I think the other thing you could do, kind of to what you were saying, is like Kristen is hiding in her old friendship.
Yes.
You know, like I think for, you know, like she, for her, like she, I think actually just make her a full fledged part of wanting the video.
Yeah, she's having a hard time making friends in the new school.
So yes, and it's like, yes, you need to actually, so she's relying on, you know, like her, you know, like she's not branching out, so she's staying in her safety net, which is hanging out with these two goofballs, right? And so yes, the fart thing is something she's dealing with and not really dealing with, but it's for the purposes of the adventure, she also wants to make this fun movie, because for her, this is an escape from the problem she's dealing with at school.
Yes, yes.
Right? Okay, all right, got it. They steal the swords, they put on the necklaces, they break the fucking MacGuffin that allows the aliens to find the location of the secret weapons depository, right? And now all hell breaks loose. This alien army of led by, you know, Ted from Human Resources shows up and freezes all the adults, and then they go rooting around trying to find the access codes to the underground bunker where all this stuff is.
The end of the second act is they've sent the Gorgoths have come down. They've frozen the ARB or whatever we're calling the organization, and
they kidnap the dad.
They kidnap the dad, and the kids realize that these aliens are trying to find a weapon of mass destruction, which is 100 floors down in this like super building now.
Okay, so what then becomes their goal?
I mean, I think it's got to be
to defeat the aliens.
Yeah,
right?
To defeat the aliens.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
they learn through a PowerPoint presentation that they're going to turn Earth into
gold or into money or whatever. Yes. I like that. I like the money thing. I think that is very fair. Okay, so now they're on this adventure where it feels like they would want to free their dad. Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing they're primarily going to first, and then the kind of turn is the realization
that
they
have to solve it on
their
own. Okay. So I think Act Three is trying to free Dad. Right. Dad'll know what to do. Right.
Yes.
The and maybe their dad is actually no, it's better rather than them just capturing the dad. Right. Yeah. The dad is frozen. Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, we have to fucking dad'll know what to do.
Yeah.
So they know there's some gizmo in that vault that can unfreeze him, or they can steal some.
Yeah.
No, because the captain of the bad guys, Ted from Human Resources,
he unfreezes
freeze
someone.
Ray.
And
And they see him unfreeze
to interrogate
them.
We
got to get onto the alien ship or whatever to get one of their things and free our dad.
Yes.
Right. So Act Three is them doing that, and then you have your silly sequences of them, like, again, having to blend in with the aliens and talk about corporate spiel. They wind up in the bunker, and they meet the fart kid who's going to help them on the adventure by, like, filling them in on what's going on, because he's been living here for forever. And, so they're going to go on this adventure and kind of do all that stuff. You know, fun kid stuff.
Fun kid
for
stuff.
For kids.
Pretending to freeze
pretending
and be adults.
Pretending to freeze and do,
fighting aliens, finding weird contraptions, trying to solve, like, how do you get... There is no 13th floor. How does the elevator get there? We gotta find a code and all that sort of...
Yes.
They're going around this, like, crazy contraption-filled alien warehouse office.
You have to do, like, at one point, like, the fate of the Earth depends on them doing a pre-algebra problem.
Oh, God, no.
Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and again, over the course of that, they are learning about hard work and responsibility, right? And again, making tough choices and all of that.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I like all that. That's cool. Your midpoint would be they unfreeze the dad.
Yes.
Right? But then in unfreezing the dad, they reveal to the aliens that the dad is the architect, the one person that they need to figure out where the vault is.
Yes.
Right? And so then the dad gets captured as a result of the thing that they did, you know, and now they have to be the ones to figure out.
I would do it, rather than just being captured, what I like, because it could give a little thing for the dad has to trust the kids. it's like, I would almost do like the dad gets caught on purpose because he has a plan, but it requires him trusting his children to help because his kids are the only ones he can help. So they're like, this is what's going to happen. They're here to get a weapon of mass destruction. They're going to bubble a whole solar system. And the kids are like, holy shit, we're going to be screwed. He's like, I'm going to get caught. They're like, no, dad, you can't leave us. We need you. He's like,
they're going to take me.
They're going to take me. Mm-hmm. And then they come with this plan. It's like, yes, if they fail, not only is the world going to end, but the dad's going to die or whatever it is.
Or you could do, if you wanted to, you could have that sequence be the dad fails to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He's like,
and then gets caught.
The dad's like, I'll take care of it, right? Yes. And they're like, you know, he's like, let me handle it, you know?
Yeah, that's good. And then they know the plan the dad was going to try to do, so they try to follow what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And then the climax is they all come together. The dad trusts the kids. The kids have grown up. The dad sees them make a tough decision and knows that the kids are growing up and they all work together to destroy the aliens or whatever.
Okay, well, okay. So, yes, in terms of that, there's the money bomb, essentially, right? And so it would be like the bomb is going to get set because the aliens are here to get it. Right, yeah. They don't necessarily want to use it, or maybe they do want to use it on the Earth. They should want to use it.
Yeah,
on the
Earth,
they're
going to
fucking shake the Earth down. There's some sort of cool, wacky heist thing at the end. I don't feel like we entirely broke this one, but it's close.
It's a climax. It's like, it's like the end of Spider-Verse. It's like the bomb starts going off, and then it's just like goes wacky bomb stuff for like 20 minutes, and they fight a bunch, and then the dad trusts the kid. Or something like that.
But emotionally, it's about getting the dad and the kids to a point where they prove themselves a little bit. And
so vague.
Yeah, I mean, all the action is pretty
just
vague. We haven't quite
disappearing into a mist of vague.
You could have said the exact same thing with just a positive energy, and it would sound like we broke it. It's like, and then they go on a wacky adventure, and the kid and the dad's now taken from the aliens. The kid's got to do what their dad was going to do, but they don't have their dad to help them. So they go into they go deep into the center of the building, and they fight the aliens.
And they
just when they think they saved the day,
and their bonds.
Yeah, just when they think they saved the day. Oh no, they activated the bomb, but they saved the dad, and now the new family all together have to fight the aliens in the very end, and then defeat the thing. I mean, it's that sort of thing. And that's Dad's Office.
Dad's Office. A fun romp, fart joke laden bonanza.
Will really wants to give it this button at the end.
It's so close. Oh, if we had another hour, we could do it.
You know what? I'll tell you what, Will. We'll take a break, and then when we come back, you'll have some time to chew on it, and perhaps there'll be some solutions there.
Greetings, I am Plek Dexsetter, contacting you from the Zix Squadron, which is, frankly, sort of crappy, but I'm here on a heroic mission with my trusty crew, C-53.
Heroic feels like an exaggeration.
Okay, sure. And Security Officer Dar.
Plek, don't put me in your stupid recording.
Well, and we're all traveling aboard our trusty starship, the Bargerian Jade. Bargy.
What? Sorry, I'm awake.
It's fine.
I was just while asleep.
Hey there, this is Alden Ford. I play Plek, and we are so excited to announce that our podcast, Mission to Zix, is now part of the Maximum Fun Network. Our third season launches on Max Fun on March 20th. Binge seasons 1 and 2 right now. That's Mission to Zix, ZYXX.
Okay, kids, no goofing around while you're in Dad's office.
Duh, we know.
When three rowdy kids disobey a dad.
Whoa, check out these bitchin' swords.
The consequences are out of this world.
I am Human Resources Director Ted. Find the Earth children and bring me the Midas device.
All I wanted was more allowance. Now I'm gonna be allowance.
We gotta find Dad. He'll know what to do.
Kids, I got a plan, but you gotta trust me.
Maybe is it better if he doesn't trust them?
Or I don't trust you, and that's why I get caught.
Wait, what?
Maybe the lesson is, like, we need to be the grown-ups.
Yeah, that's it. And then, you gotta team up to save your dad.
Again? Like, twice?
Yeah, but this time, for real.
Okay, so then what?
Gotta do a thing to stop the bad guys from doing their thing. But this time, everyone works together and learns about growing up, or being friends, or having confidence.
It seems kind of vague.
And all these abstract thematic notions are expressed through one dramatic action in Dad's Office. Coming to a public or private school with or without a good film program near you.
Hey, well, I think we got to fire the trailer company that's cutting these things.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed that the trailer people fucked up the ending of that movie and didn't know what they were doing.
We nailed it.
Yeah, we nailed it.
I don't know what they listened to, but we nailed it.
A special thanks to the Feast of Fiction crew, Jimmy, Sam, Ashley, for lending their voices to that trailer.
As our trio of wacky kids. I thought they all did a great job.
They did.
Except for Jimmy.
Except for Jimmy, that ruffian. I can hear him in the other room complaining about our curving him from here. That's going to do it for us this week at Story Break. You'll notice that the duo of voices here is not complimented by the trio because Matt is full on dad mode now. He's got that BDE, big dad energy.
He's got big dad energy. He's at home with his adorable brand new baby daughter, Dorothy Lewis Arnold Hall, which Freddie and I think sounds like an awesome 1920s suffragette flapper name.
Yeah,
if we ever heard one.
She's going to rake some muck. Is that what it means? Muckraker?
Muck raking. That's another thing from that time period. Sure.
Is it appropriate? I don't know.
She's getting hot scoops.
Getting hot scoops, kiddo.
She's going to be exposing the meatpacking industry any day now. So a very, very special Story Break congratulations to our co-host, Matt Arnold. And welcome to Earth, young Dorothy. We have a very special Dorothy-themed episode coming up that you guys will get to hear
that we recorded
2 weeks. It might be one of my favorite episodes we've ever recorded.
That we recorded before she entered this world.
Well, careful, Freddie.
Oh, that's right.
Careful.
When does life begin?
People are a little divided on that subject. At any rate, it was before she was born.
Yeah,
we'll say that.
There we go. There we go.
But we're very excited for it, and you guys be hearing that in a couple weeks.
Thanks also to Patrick Goodsell, Gil Holderbach, and Kristen for lending your names to this episode. You too can have your name on an episode. Tweet at us at RJStoryBreak on Twitter. Let us know what your name is, and we may draw from this.
You too may be a girl with smelly farts in our next fantastic motion picture.
And by the way, that Twitter's where all the good Story Break related content is, in addition to our Facebook, which is at bit.ly/storybreakfb. That's where you gotta hit it up.
Go now
quickly to the Story Break Twitter and Facebook. Listen, the world is ending. Social media, this is the last outpost. It's in no time. You got to follow us.
Climate change people say we have 10 years to live, so get over to that Facebook page now.
Do not delay.
And while you're there, pick up a Story Break mug and drink the last gulps of water.
The Story Break mug will be great to hang on to the glass clean water you have during the apocalypse. Make sure you put a little saran wrap over it so that your clean water doesn't evaporate in the oncoming apocalypse. That's at Tepatico. .com. Thanks also to MaximumFun.org for having us on their podcast network. Now, you know, there's a lot of these other podcast networks are taking that big money, that Spotify money. They're disappearing off the map. A lot of questions about them. No siree. Maximum Fun's grassroots, community-driven, listener-supported from the get. They're the OGs. They're the real podcasters. Everyone else be fake podcasters.
Story Break, however, has been acquired by Clear Channel for $400 million.
Yeah, we are now a subsidiary of Sinclair Broadcasting, so expect some more interesting ads coming. No, that's not true. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you again so much for listening. My name is Freddie Wong, and my recommendation this week is to listen to episode 2 of Dungeons & Daddies, which is going to come out Tuesday. I'm finishing up the edit for it right now, and I think it's a really fun, morally fraught episode. There's a lot of big themes that we tackle in this
big
this
theme
week.
Energy this
big
week
theme energy
Dungeons
here.
To Daddies in our dad network of dad related content.
We're expanding into this lucrative new market.
My name is Will Campos, and I think you should all be playing the Hitman games, which I just started playing because they're on PS Plus and they're super fun. The new one came out and it's really good, and that's what I've been playing.
They're fun. I like
just
them.
Being a big bald dude murdering people. Anyway, that's it for me.
All right. Well, we'll see you folks next week.
Thanks again to Maximum Fun for having us on their network.
I love it.
Oh, good
man,
stuff
every time.
Well, I hope that you're enjoying this podcast you're listening to as much as we are pretending to. But anyway, why not listen to another podcast too? It's called The Flop House.
And on our podcast, we have recently watched a movie, often a bad movie, and we review it on our podcast, but mainly talk about other stuff and, I don't know, hang out.
It's all about hanging out, feeling like you're being with your best friends. Who are your best friends? Us three. Dan McCoy, Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show, Stuart Wellington, owner of the best bar in Brooklyn, Hinterlands, and Elliot Kalin, former Emmy-winning head writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, former head writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, so many things. Author of the upcoming children's book,
All Right, that's enough.
The Elliot's credits just go on and on.
Yeah, but if you like the idea of listening to three funny guys talk about bad movies, then why not come over and listen to The Flophouse? It's available at MaximumFun.org or wherever fine podcasts are found.
So get out of here.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.